This is the Empire program from the Midlands. Paul Temple and the Front Page Men, a serial thriller by Francis Durbridge. The eighth and last episode, The Front Page Man.
Front Page Man number one is waiting at the Autumn Hotel under the alias of Mr. Wallace Sabina for Herr von Selten, a famous German fence. Sir Graham Forbes and his colleagues at Scotland Yard are informed that von Selten has been arrested at Croydon. Simultaneously with the report of his arrest, however, a gentleman arrives at the Autumn Hotel.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I believe you have a gentleman staying here that I wish to see.
What name, sir?
Mr. Wallace Sabina.
Oh, yes, sir. Mr. Sabina is in room 704. I believe he's expecting you. Your name is...
My name is von Selten.
Oh, yes, of course. Mr. von Selten. This way, please.
Thank you.
Whoever our friend Sabina is, it looks as if he's going to be very lonely, as far as von Selten is concerned, at any rate.
Aye.
Well, the front page man is waiting at the Autumn Hotel for von Selten.
And we've got von Selten.
By gosh, Temple, this is the chance we've been waiting for.
But Sabina is merely an alias. Who is the front page man?
Goldie. Mr. J.P. Goldie. It must be Goldie.
Aye. I agree with you, Gilbert. It must be Goldie.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Sir Graham, but it isn't.
What? Then who is it?
The name, gentlemen, is Mitchell. Gerald Mitchell.
Mr. von Selten, sir.
Mr. Sabina?
Yes.
My name is von Selten.
Oh, how do you do? Did you have a good journey?
No journeys are good, my friend. Some are bad, some are not so bad. This was what you call putrid.
Well, I'm sorry to have dragged you over here, von Selten, but this matter is rather urgent.
Of course. Besides, it is so nice to meet you after so much business we have done together.
So much business we have done together?
Yes. Indirectly, I mean.
Oh.
You see, my friend, whenever you do anything really big over here, it has what you may call favorable repercussions on my business.
Oh. Oh, I see. Would you care for a drink?
No, no. I am rather anxious to discuss the details you wish to speak with me about.
Oh, yes. Von Selten, you've heard of the Carter Collection.
But who hasn't, my friend?
Yes. Who hasn't?
It is the best part of 100,000, they say.
You seem to have been badly informed, my friend. It's worth 1,000,000.
Oh, A million. Oh, there is not so much money in the world.
Von Zelten, listen. I want 400,000, and I want it tonight.
It is a lot of money.
The Carter collection is worth a million. Even if the stones have to be cut, you'll
make... One moment, please. I want to see this collection. If it is so wonderful, then why don't you take your...
Look, Von Zelten. Look.
Oh, so this is the famous Carter collection. Wonderful. Beautiful.
Now, don't you see? Once they're out of this country, you...
Wonderful, wonderful.
Excuse me.
This diamond.
Hello? Oh. Yes? Yes, Sabina speaking. Sabina? Where are you? Yes, I'm listening. Oh, don't be silly, he's here now. I tell you, Von Zelten is here. Arrested? You sure of this? Lena, for God's sake, don't start joking now.
Put that phone down, Mitchell.
Then you're not Von Zelten.
No.
Who are you?
It's a long story, Mr. Mitchell, and I am just a little weary.
Now, listen, put that gun down. If it's a question of money,
I... not a question of money.
Oh, what is it? What do you want? What do you want?
Revenge. Revenge!
No! No, for God's sake!
Do you remember Lester Granville, the actor?
Granville? Your Granville.
Yes. If you remember, my child was kidnapped. I paid £7,000 for her return, but she was not returned. She was not returned.
No, don't shoot! Don't shoot! For God's sake, man, don't stand there staring like...
I want another photograph of the body, Dobson. No, take it from the doorway.
Yes, sir.
What do you make of it, Mac?
Well, it seems quite obvious to me that Von Zelten is... Well,
how the blazes could it be, Von Zelten?
You don't think Thompson has picked up the wrong laddie?
Not a chance. The fellow we picked up at Croydon was Von Zelten, right enough.
Yes.
The real Von Zelten.
Of course he must have been.
Then who the devil was this fellow? He must have been a pretty good actor to have passed
himself
off...
By Timothy.
What is it? What is it, Temple?
Oh, nothing. I was just thinking, that's all.
Oh, this may be for Sabina. Hello? Who? Oh, it's the yard. Hello, Renson, what is it? What? Good heavens, when did this happen? Yes? Yes, all right. We've nearly finished here, as a matter of fact. Righto.
Well, I'm damned. What is it, sir?
About 5 minutes ago, a parcel was handed in at the yard. It was addressed to the Reverend Charles Hargreaves. It was the Carter collection.
The Carter collection?
It must have been taken from Mitchell by this fellow who impersonated Von Zelten.
Yes.
Aye, well, I'm off back to the yard. I didn't see that we can do much more here, Sir Graham.
No, you're right, mate.
I've finished now, so I'll have the prints ready by first thing tomorrow morning.
Oh, very good, Dobson.
Can I drop you anywhere, Temple?
No, as a matter of fact, I want to put a call through. I'll see you downstairs sometime.
Right. Yes. All right, Temple. Come along, mate.
Right,
now,
sir.
Look here. You want to have those back?
Hello? Oh, would you get me a Mayfair? 7841, please. Yes, 7841. Oh, is that you, Steve? I say, darling, I may be rather late tonight. Oh, well, it's difficult to say how late. Mm-hmm. What's that? Well, I'm going to see an old friend of ours, Steve. A Mr. Goldie.
19, Paul Temple's flat in Mayfair, the following afternoon.
I think you're marvelous.
So do I, by Timothy.
I really don't know how you do it.
It's a gift, darling. You simply buy a good old magnifying glass, and you put two and two together, and I say this buttered toast is delicious.
Paul?
Yes, my pet?
No, darling, I'm serious. When did you first suspect Gerald?
The day he came to Bramley Lodge and told us about Anne being good at impersonating people. I couldn't quite see his point in telling us that. He knew I was almost bound to go straight to Sir Graham with such valuable information.
But what was his point?
I don't know. He must have persuaded Anne to impersonate Carol over the phone without her realizing the significance of it. He probably told her it was some joke.
Yes, but later she must have realized...
Later, Anne realized a great many things, Steve. That's why she drifted away from Gerald and took that flat in Bloomsbury.
Gerald, of course, tried to throw suspicion onto Anne.
Yes, because he wasn't at all sure just how much Anne knew about him. He was frightened. After all, except for this other woman, Lena, no one connected Gerald with the front page men. That's why he killed Anne.
Oh, it's horrible. But what made you so certain of Gerald? Surely you didn't...
Gerald said that he'd never been to the flat in Bloomsbury, and yet he knew which button to press in the lift in order to take us to the correct floor. And I couldn't have done that unless he'd been to the flat beforehand. That's why I asked him to press the button.
And he pressed the right one instinctively.
Yes. Then another point rather interested me. After we heard Goldie in the flat
then
above...
Then it was Goldie.
Yes, it was Goldie, all right. We had quite a little chat together.
But you said the flat was deserted.
Yes. And dear old Gerald said, I wonder if he's climbed onto the roof. You see, darling, the flat was being repaired and there was an opening above one of the windows covered by a tarpaulin. And Gerald knew about it.
Oh, I see. Who is Mr. Goldie?
Who is Mr. Goldie? I believe he's rather a meek little man with a passion for horticulture. We've never met.
Never met?
No.
Oh, but...
Oh, yes, darling, I know what you're thinking. But our Mr. Goldie isn't the Mr. Goldie. In fact, he isn't a Mr. Goldie at all.
Then who is he?
His name's Granville. Lester Granville. Does that convey anything to you?
Why, yes.
For many years, Lester Granville was a pretty good successful character actor. He had one child, a little girl. About 2 years ago, the child was kidnapped, and Granville was instructed to pay 7,000 quid for her return. He paid, but he also got in touch with Scotland Yard. Because of this, the child was murdered. The effect on Granville was really unbelievable. He was almost demented with fury. When he left the stage, and he devoted his entire life to tracking down the criminals responsible for his daughter's death. And Granville was no fool, Steve. He knew what he was doing all right. He realized it was quite hopeless for him to try and make a thorough investigation unless he could first of all manage to conceal his real identity.
And so he became Mr. J.P. Goldie.
And so he became Mr. J.P. Goldie. Actually, Granville had known the real Mr. Goldie for quite a little while. He was, in fact, by way of being a friend of his. Fortunately, Granville was a pretty good musician and he was able to carry on with Goldie's work.
Yes, but darling, how did you discover that he wasn't really Mr. Goldie?
Well, I had my suspicions from the very first. I knew that either he was connected with the gang or he was making some sort of private investigation. Then, one day, I decided to visit Clapshaw and Thompson's in Regent Street. Remember, Goldie used to work there.
Yes.
The fellow in charge described him absolutely to a T. It really did look as if my suspicions were unfounded. And then, suddenly, just as I was leaving, the manager said, I expect the old boy is still crazy over lilies. That remark interested me, and after a few moments, I discovered my first important clue. The real Mr. Goldie was considered an expert on certain flowers, and particularly lilies.
So that's why you brought those lilies home the day Goldie
exactly.
was
Exactly. I literally scoured London for the finest lilies in the country. But Goldie was quite unimpressed by them. He didn't even make a single comment. Then, suddenly, as a final test, I deliberately called them tiger lilies. Well, now, darling, no expert would stand for that. They were quite obviously Lilium regale. But Goldie didn't even contradict me. In fact, to put it bluntly, as far as he was concerned, they might just as well have been the bluebells of Scotland.
Darling, I think you're terribly clever.
Thank you, my pet. I said his toast is scrumptious.
But, Paul, how did you discover that he was Lester Granville?
Oh, deduction. deduction, my dear.
Yes, but you couldn't simply put two and two together.
No, as a matter of fact, he told me.
He told you?
Yes, darling.
When?
That night in Bloomsbury.
What was he doing in Bloomsbury?
Well, he was keeping his eye on Gerald Mitchell. You see, Goldie, or rather Granville, had already discovered that Gerald was front page man number one. It's rather a strange story. At the time when Granville's child disappeared, he was playing a show called Mist Over the Moon. Lydia Royal, alias Anne Mitchell, was also in the show, and she became quite friendly with his little girl. It was through her, in fact, that Gerald organized the kidnapping, although, of course, Anne knew nothing about it.
What made Goldie first suspicious of Gerald?
Well, when the front page men came into existence, Goldie suddenly realized that the novel, from which apparently the gang took their title, was published by none other than Lydia Royal's husband, Gerald Mitchell. This made him think. And suddenly he realized how very friendly Anne had been with his little girl.
And so he suspected Anne.
Yes, I'm afraid he did. But nevertheless, this put him on the right track as far as Gerald was concerned. Oddly enough, however, his investigations led him to believe that Brightman was the real leader of the gang. And it wasn't until the last day or so that he realized that Gerald was front page man number one.
I can't quite see why Gerald called his organization the front page men. It seems that by doing so, he automatically drew attention to himself.
Exactly. Which, darling, was really a brilliant psychological move. The police knew he was the publisher of the novel, The Front Page Men. They knew that he was telling the truth about the novel being submitted out of the blue by an unknown authoress. Don't you see? This put him in a really excellent position. In the eyes of the law, he was merely the bright but somewhat bewildered young publisher. Certainly it connected him with the case, but it also enabled the police to dismiss him as being an insignificant factor. Same with Andrew Brighton. He deliberately brought himself to the notice of the police by saying that he'd had his daughter kidnapped. Actually, this was a very carefully planned move on Brighton's part, but it also enabled him to throw suspicion onto Mr. J.P. Goldie.
There was that letter which Sir Graham received from Andrea Fortune. Do you think...
I think Andrea Fortune wrote the letter? Yes, darling. I know she did.
What are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of a newspaper reporter I used to know. A girl by the name of Steve Trent.
Was she nice?
She was small and dark and also very, very clever.
Why do you say that?
She married a popular novelist who was laboring under the impression that nobody could write anything but himself. And just to prove that he was wrong, what do you think she did?
Three guesses?
Mm-hmm.
She wrote a book.
She wrote a book. And the name of the book, my sweet, was The Front Page Men. And the name of the author was Andrea Fortune.
Paul, you know.
I know that you are Andrea Fortune.
Oh, darling, I've been so worried about it. Of course, I knew that the book had nothing to do with the real front page men, except, of course, that they picked on it as a sort of...
It's all right, darling.
Then you're not angry.
Of course I'm not angry. But by Timothy, I hope you're not writing a sequel.
Oh, no, darling, I'm not. Oh, I'm so relieved that you know. Paul.
Yes?
Last night, after you left the hotel, you said you were going to see Goldie, or rather Granville.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Yes.
Why?
Because I knew that Lester Granville was the only man who could have impersonated Von Selten.
Then Goldie murdered Gerald Mitchell?
Yes.
Does Sir Graham know?
No.
But what's going to happen? What are you going to do?
Well, last night, Granville told me the whole story about himself. I don't think anyone will ever realize what that child meant to him, Steve. He was determined to get Mitchell if
he... Paul, what are you going to do?
He talked about leaving for South America.
Aren't you going to stop him?
Last night, I begged him to stay and confess. I told him quite honestly that after the terrible happenings of the last 3 months, it was almost impossible to say what might happen.
And if he doesn't stay?
If he doesn't stay... It's bon voyage, Mr. Goldie.
I hope for his own peace of mind that he...
What is it, darling?
Listen.
I beg your pardon, sir.
What is it, Price?
It's the piano tuner, sir. A Mr. Goldie. A Mr. J.P. Goldie.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of our serial thriller, Paul Temple and the Front Page Men, by Francis Durbridge. And now, here is the producer, Martin C. Webster, to introduce the cast.
Good evening, everyone. Well, I do sincerely hope you've enjoyed the show and that our efforts during the last 8 weeks have met with your approval. May I take this opportunity of thanking all those listeners who so kindly wrote in after the last Paul Temple serial. There were well over 7,000 of you, and this is the first chance I've had to thank you all personally. Well, now to introduce the artists. Paul Temple.
Yes, my dear. I know that you are Andrea Fortune.
Was played by Hugh Morton. Steve.
Good gracious, whatever made you buy Lilies?
Played by Bernadette Hodgson. Sir Graham Forbes.
Mr. John Leonard Paradise leaves for Birmingham on the 6:10 with £1,000,000 worth of jewellery.
That was played by Lester Muddett. Inspector Hunter.
He seems in a sort of daze, as if he can't remember things properly.
Played by Cedric Johnson. Inspector Reed.
Aye.
Was played by Neil Tewson. Lena Fresne.
Front page man is meeting consultant tomorrow night at 9. They are meeting at the Glass Bowl. He wants you all to be there.
That was played by Cicely Gay. The Reverend Charles Hargreaves.
The name is Hargreaves. The Reverend Charles Hargreaves.
That was Godfrey Baisley. Andrew Brightman.
Jimmy, I'm just as helpless as you are. I don't even know who the front page man is.
Well, that was Stuart Vinden. Carol Forbes.
Well, oddly enough, that's why I came here. Because of Anne Mitchell.
Played by Valerie Larg. Price.
Yes, madam. It's the piano tuner. A Mr. Goldie. A Mr. J.P. Goldie.
That was William Hughes. Jed Ware.
If he's got the Carter collection, how do we know he isn't going to double-cross us?
That was Vincent Curran. Mr. J.P. Goldie.
No, sir. I'm afraid I don't remember a Mr. Paramore.
Played by Hal Bryant. Gerald Mitchell, alias front page man number one.
Well, if Steve's half a good a novelist as she was a reporter, then she's good enough for my money.
That was Leslie Bomar. Other parts were played by John Morley, William Warren, Clive Solborn, Courtney Hope, Mary Pollock, Percy Dewey, Dennis Falwell, and Fred Forgem. Once again, thank you all for listening. Goodbye.